This morning we are going to be in Psalm chapter 40, three short verses, the first three verses of this passage. And I know as this week, as I'm beginning to go more deeply into what this passage has to say to me, I understand that there are some things that apply to us as Christians, and there are things that apply to those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior as of yet. But as we talk about this passage, so many times we come to church and we hear of the problems that we are facing and the things that we are doing wrong, and it seems like it's so negative sometimes. And that's not the point. That's not my purpose to stand back up here. But my point is, I say that because if I don't preach what this book says, then you don't want me up here. And so I'm going to say some things today that hit close to home, and I'm not saying it'll make it uncomfortable, but I'm saying that it should at least open our eyes, and I think that it applies to all of us. I told you when I started preaching, I would never aim a sermon at anybody, and I will never do that, because nine times out of nine, they've been aimed at me, and so you guys just get the bounce back. But we are going to look at just those first three verses. This is one of those psalms that it's looked at it different ways by scholars. Some believe it's talking about Jesus and his being raised from the dead, and others believe that it's talking about David and a time in his life. I am going to look at it from the perspective of David and the time in his life. So if you'd read along with me, starting in verse 1, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." Let's pray, please. Father God in heaven, we just come to you right now as we lift up your word. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move in this place. Lord, I pray that you help us to hear from you. Lord, I pray that we would be able to apply your word to our life. Lord, that we would be able to glorify you. Lord, that our lives would honor the God of the universe. That the things that we do, the things that we say, would reflect your Spirit within us. Lord, move in this place today in such a mighty way that we cannot go out of here the same as we walked in. Lord, draw us into your presence, I pray. In your name, amen. This is, as I said, one of those passages that I think the first thing I have to do as I read this passage, I've got to, and not that the Bible needs to be untwisted, so don't take this wrong, but as we read that first part of that passage, he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and heard my cry, and he drew me out of the pit of destruction." It doesn't ever tell us what David was waiting on until later. And then it says that he cried out. And so, really, if we look at it, David found himself in what he's calling, in some translations, it's called a slimy pit. Some, it's called a horrible pit. I chose this translation this morning because I like the idea of the pit of destruction. And so, for whatever reason, David found himself in this pit of destruction. Now, I don't know if it was something that David did. I don't know if it was a choice he made and the consequences led him to that place. I don't know if it was just sometimes life, you look around and you're in that pit. I'm not exactly sure that some of the scholars believe it was had something to do with his son Absalom and the things that he was going through. And so maybe it was a spiritual pit that he was in, he found himself in. Maybe it was literally physical troubles that he was going through. But whatever it was, he referred to it as a pit of destruction or a horrible place to be. And so as we say that, David finds himself in this pit. And obviously, he's going to cry out to the Lord. So he knew that the only way out of this pit was to cry out to God. And so, obviously, that's what he's done. He's found himself in this pit. He's cried out to God. And now, we go back to that first verse. I waited patiently for the Lord. That sounds so easy. I love it when he starts there and he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And I think, man, that separates me so much from David. I mean, I'm a long ways from David anyway, but when I see that he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, I did it for 5 minutes. That would be me. I would have to tack that on. I would have to say, I waited patiently for the Lord for 5 minutes, and then I was no longer patient. That's where I would have to be. But we don't know to what extent how long David waited. But he said he waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to hear me. He turned to hear me, and he turned and he heard my cry. Well, let's look at that pit that David was in. And it doesn't really tell us much about that pit other than some things that we can kind of understand as we look into the Scripture, what he's talking about when he talks about that pit of destruction. Obviously, it was a place that David did not want to be. We've all been in those situations, whether it's spiritual or whether it's a physical situation, emotional situation. We found ourselves in that place that we do not want to be. Well, that's easy. Just turn and walk out the door. Go somewhere else. Sometimes it's easy to get out of those situations. Well, obviously, this is a situation for David that he could not get out of on his own. He turned it over to God, and too many times I don't wait patiently, and too many times I don't want to cry out to the Lord because that takes too long. And that makes me admit that I've done something wrong. And so I come to this point and I see David and I see that he is in this pit that he doesn't want to be in. He sees no way out of. It doesn't tell us anything about the entrances to this pit, but I want to talk about the entrances to this pit for just a little bit. Because I think there's really two entrances to the pits. One is that life entrance. Things happen in our lives that we hate, that they are devastating, and we find ourselves in that pit that we can't get out of and we don't want to be there. And it's not because of anything I've done personally. It's because of life. And so that is that pit that is just there. That entrance that just gets you into the pit and you look up and you're there. But the one I really want to focus on is that pit, that entrance to the pit that you walked through, that I walked through. Think about this. David's in this pit. It's a horrible pit. It's a slimy pit. It's a pit that's leading to destruction. Why would he be there? Why would you get into a pit like that? Would you purposely jump into a pit like that? Would you purposely walk into a situation knowing that it's going to get you into a situation that's going to lead to destruction? None of us would do that. But all of us have ended up there. So why do we get there? I think sometimes we talk about, and we're going to talk about David being lifted out of the pit and what David's going to do after, but I think sometimes if we can prevent that entrance into the pit, it would be a big thing. It would be helpful for us. Because we don't just knowingly go jump into it like a swimming pool. We don't just knowingly go into this situation knowing it's leading into destruction. I think we have to understand it's one of those things where you and I walk purposely into that pit. Now that sounds kind of silly. But that pit starts out looking like a nice, cool place to be. Nice little pool that we can go and we can soak our feet on a hot day. It has the appearance that it's not that bad. It doesn't seem too deep. It doesn't seem threatening. It just seems like a place that would be okay. And it also seems like a place that when I'm cooled off, I can just walk out of it. But there's a scripture that kind of describes that. And it says, sin has its pleasure for a season. Man, if sin didn't have its pleasure, you wouldn't be tempted. If sin did not look good and if sin wasn't fun, I wouldn't be tempted to do it. If it was horrible, if it was like smashing your hand in a car door, I wouldn't do it. But sin has its pleasure for a season. It looks like that cool pool or that five-star resort that just looks like it's so much fun. And then once you get there, you're waiting and you start out just in your feet, and then next thing you know, you're knee-deep. Oh, this is cool. I can enjoy this. And then the next thing you know, you're gradually getting deeper and deeper into this pool, and now you're up to your neck and you realize this is no longer a pool. This is a pit. And I don't want to be here. And you realize you can't get out. James talks about that in chapter 1, verse 14. He says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then that desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." We start out with that thought in our mind that maybe we know it shouldn't be there, but you know, thoughts fly through our mind all the time. But then all of a sudden we find ourselves focusing on that thought a little more, and we imagine that thought, and it stays in there, and our mind begins to play with it. And then after our mind has begun to play with it for a while, it goes from just imagining that sin in our life to desiring that sin. And then that desire becomes our focus, and that's all we can think about. And then that focus becomes our action. And before you know it, we have chosen to walk down a very slippery slope, and we end up in a pit that we can't get out of. Now, too many times, and I'm talking to Christians right now, too many times you and I think we have no danger of a pit. Man, we would never end up where David's at. I would never purposely go into sin knowing that it's going to lead me to destruction, that it's going to affect my life with God and my relationship with Him, and it's going to make me become ineffective for Him as a believer. We would not do that on purpose. But what happens is you and I take things in that book and we want to try to situationalize them, if that's a word. We're going to try to put them in certain situations and say, is this really all that bad? Is it really that bad, or is that just something that applied to other people in other situations? It's situational ethics. In this situation, it would be bad. But in that situation, I think God would understand. That's what we try to do. We try to get into the mind of God and say, okay, God, this probably would be okay now, but maybe not in that situation, or not in that situation, but this one would be okay. And we get ourselves as close to the edge of that pit as we can get and say, I'm good. But when you think you're as close to the edge of the pit as you can be and still be safe, you're already knee-deep in the pit. We need to understand that the important thing for us to do is to stay out of the pit. We have to stay out of the pit because it's going to lead to destruction. As we look on at David, he's in this pit. He wants out. He cries out to God. God then draws him out of the pit and sets his feet upon a solid rock. As we look at this whole passage, there are a few things that we need to understand. One, we need to acknowledge where you are. I don't know if you're in the pit. I don't know if you just got out of the pit. I don't know if you're treading right beside the pit. I don't know if you're trying to jump over the pit. I don't know where you are. And you don't know where I am. But you have to acknowledge where you are. You have to acknowledge, like David did. He had to acknowledge, well, I'm in the pit and I need to cry out for help. Too many times as Christians, we don't want to acknowledge that we're in the pit. Man, I'm the pastor. If I admit that I'm in a pit and I'm struggling, what is everybody going to say? Well, you know, I'm a Sunday school teacher, or I'm a deacon, or I attend church every Sunday. And if I admit that I'm in a pit, What are people going to say? Don't worry about what people are going to say. Talk to God about it. Cry out and get out of that pit. Nobody wants to stay in that pit. David did not want to stay in that pit. So you have to acknowledge where you are. Acknowledge why you're there. Like I said, I don't know why you got there. I sometimes don't even know why I got there. But in order for me to get out of that pit, I have to acknowledge why I'm there or what's going to happen when He sets me out of that pit, He draws me out and gets me on the solid rock. And if I don't realize what got me there, I'm right back in it again. Well, He got me out of it last time. He'll get me out of it again. So I'll just go to this point. And then it's easier to get back to here. God wants to keep us out of the pit. That's why He tells him. He pulled him out. He set his feet upon the rock. And He made his steps secure. When He's pulled you out of that pit, when you've understood how you've got there, and He's pulled you out, He set you on solid ground and He's made your steps secure. When I'm right here, these are not steps. These are steps. He makes your steps secure. He gives you a direction to go that is secure. If that's the pit, then this would not be secure. When He pulls you and me out of the pit, too many times we just want to walk right back. And that's what happens when we don't acknowledge what got us there. And we don't acknowledge the fact that God does not want us there. And He set us on a solid rock, which is Jesus, the foundation. And when He's done that, He gives us a place to go. But too many times we just want to hang out. Man, He pulled me out of the pit and He set me on solid ground. And we just want to stay there. I'm safe. I'm good. But He gives us a direction to go, a secure step, step by step. So we acknowledge that we can't get out. Then we have to realize, why does He come and rescue Steve every single time? Time and time again, he's got to be sitting up there saying, Steve's back in the pit again. Let's get him again. Steve's teetering on the edge of the pit. Get ready. We've got to get him again. We seem like it's just so repetitive because we don't look for and realize not what just got us into the pit, but why does He keep pulling me out? Because He loves me. Because He loves you is why He pulled you out of that pit. That's one reason, and that's an obvious reason that we know. We know He pulls us out because He loves us. But He pulls us out because He wants you to acknowledge Him. He wants you to call on Him. He's the creator of the universe. He took some dust and He made man. And when He did that, He began to love that dust. And He loved that dust so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for that dust. And when that dust gets in trouble, He goes and He pulls it back out because He loves it. He doesn't want that dust to suffer. But too many times this pile of dust just chooses to go right back. He loves me and He doesn't want me to suffer is one of the reasons He pulled me out of that pit. He goes on, He says, after He made His steps secure, He says, He put a new song in my mouth. That scares a lot of you. As I thought over that and I read over that and prayed over that part of the verse, I think, well, God's put a song in our mouth. We're supposed to proclaim it. We're supposed to proclaim what God is to us. But He says a new song. Too many times I want to go back and proclaim what He did for me back on April 7th, on years ago when I was 21, and he drew me to Him and I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I want to go back and I want to talk about that. But this says, when David, who had been a man after God's own heart, then he stumbles and he finds himself in a pit, and all of a sudden God pulls him out and he sets him on the rock and he gives him a place to stand and a place to go. And he says, I'm going to put a new song in your mouth. Yeah, that other song was really good. But I want to put a new song in your mouth. How long has it been since you shared a new testimony to somebody? It's one thing to share my salvation testimony, but to share what God is doing in my life daily, to sing praises to Him. It says He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Now, it's easy for me on Sunday nights when we join down here and we start to give testimonies about what God is doing in our life or things that how we see God's hand move in the lives around us on Sunday nights. That's really easy. But He says to sing praises to our God. That's that when Donis's gone to work, I don't have to be at work yet. I turn the radio up and I sing praises. And my neighbors are so glad my house is soundproof. Because it's not to anybody else. It's not to somebody to hear. The purpose is for me to share and to praise God for what He's doing in my life. To sing a new song. Now, if I got the same song out every morning and sang the same song every day, yeah, that's a good song. I love that song. It praises God. But if I have the same testimony every day, it's great. God has blessed me, and I want to make sure I thank Him for it every single day, every single day. But He says, what have you seen me do lately? What new song are you praising me about? You know, God doesn't need me in any way. God doesn't have to have me to reach people for Him. God can use rocks, trees, sunsets. He can use anything. And He does. But He desires to use me. He desires to use you. So that, the last part of this verse, many will see. Stop right there. And I'm not doing it so people will see. I'm doing it to glorify my God. You're doing it to glorify your God. But understand, people will see. Many people are going to see when you start letting God pull you out of that pit and you begin to praise Him about it and you no longer live like you're in a pit. You begin to live walking the secure steps that God has placed for you. People are going to notice, hey, Steve's not like he used to be. He's up here walking on this secure ground. He's walking the way that's different than what he used to be when he was in that pit. Many people are going to see. And then it goes on, it says, and fear. Well, they better be afraid of me. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about they're going to see the power of God. And when you understand for the first time the power God has to change lives, it's an awe-inspiring, they use the term fear. It's not afraid, but it's to understand how much power God has and He still loves you. Many people will see, and people that have never seen the power of God move before are going to see it in your life. Many people will see and fear, and the last part of this verse, and put their trust in the Lord. Man, we see people, we see how God's working, and we put our trust in that person. That's not what the verse says. They will see you, and they will put their trust in your God. The only way they're going to do that is to see your God move in you, to hear you talk and praise your God in front of them. So we acknowledge where we are. either in the pit, beside the pit, just crawling, you know, just being lifted out, whatever. Understand why you're there. Acknowledge the only way out. Realize why He does it. Realize what He wants to do after. When Jesus Christ came to earth and died on the cross, I love that sign that you see along the roads. It's I just blanked on the studio down in Branson. It shows the Jesus presentation. And it shows a hand reaching down and pulling somebody out of the water. When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, His hand was reaching down to pull you out of the pit. Maybe you were in the pit because we all started out there. We started out as sinners in need of a Savior. He reached down from the cross to pull us out of that pen, that pit, to where we stood condemned. And He lifted us up. He wanted to give us a sturdy place to stand, salvation through the blood of Jesus. That's what He did for you. If you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior, that's what He did for you. But if you're a Christian, He's still there to pick you up because we are not living the way we should. If we were living the way we should, you wouldn't be feeling the way you're feeling. I wouldn't be feeling the way I'm feeling. But too many times we mess up. We know we mess up. We know we're headed to that pit or we're swimming in a pit. And we think, well, I want out of this pit. And I'm sick and tired of getting in this pit. Then do something about it. Realize what gets you there. Understand that if you're walking with God, in the things that you and I do, if I'm walking with God, very seldom am I going to step into a pit. Because I'm walking hand in hand with Him. That's only going to happen when I'm reading this Bible, when I'm understanding, when I'm trying to apply it to my life. It can happen if you just go to church. It can happen if you have a prayer time every morning. It can happen when you think you're okay. The Bible tells us when you think you're safe, when you think you're secure, when you think you're strong enough that you'll never end up in a pit, you are teetering on the edge of that pit. Where do you want to spend this next week? Do you want to spend it on the edge of the pit? Do you want to stay in the pit? Or do you want as far away walking with those secure steps on the foundation of Jesus Christ? That's up to you. That's up to you. We're going to close this morning with the understanding of this pit. Because too many times it's just something we can get in and out of. But the pit leads to destruction. It destroys a relationship. A daily relationship with Jesus, it destroys it. Or it destroys a life that has never come to know Jesus. But until you and I see that pit as a pit of destruction, we will never stay away from it. We'll never stay away from it if we think we can get out of it. If we think He'll just lift us up again. If we look at it as just a not a good place to be. That's our problem. We don't see the pit of destruction as what it really is. And we don't see the gate to get there as what it is. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before You now and I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I lift it to You. Lord, help us to see each of our entrances. I know, Lord, I know what mine look like. Lord, help me to stay away. Help me to turn and run.
Lord, I pray for each person here. Lord, you know where they're at. You take over. We lift it all to you. In your name we pray. Amen.